Hello, it's Alan O'Donoghue, and this is the Teach Computing Podcast. And this morning I find myself in Northampton at the University of Northampton at the launch event of the Race to the Top Coding Challenge. And the first person I've grabbed is going to tell me what his name is.
My name is David Barker, and I'm here representing the Worshipful Company of Information Technologists, who are co-sponsoring the Race to the Top competition.
The Worshipful Company. Corporation.
Worshipful Company of Information Technologists. Yes.
Right, I really don't understand. What is that?
Okay, that's basically we're a City of London guild, one of 110, and we focus on IT. We have a membership of 800 IT professionals from startups to heads of corporations who are members, not just to further the IT industry, but to try and use our expertise, skills to help education
this
and work with schools.
Sounds to me, it reminds me a little bit of where I live in Preston. There's these like round table organizations. It's sort of business men and women who meet together and try and get involved in worthwhile projects. So it's kind of similar to that.
Similar. We have panels.
Yes.
And one of the panels I sit on is the education training panel. And from there, we have people who are passionate about education and we create projects.
Fantastic.
We reach into schools and say, what can we do together?
So you're living and working in London, is that right?
Yes, living and working in London.
So why Northampton then? Why get involved in a project in Northampton?
Well, me personally, I'm from Manchester. And I've had a career in IT for 25 years. I set up one of the first internet startups in 1994. And to me, job creation today can be anywhere. We can create startups anywhere. So working with the Worshipful Company, I'm actually running the Livery Schools Link program. And my vision and the vision of the company is to create and get involved nationally, not just in London.
So the competition, as I understand it, it's pitched for years 4 to 6 in primary schools.
Yeah.
And year 9 pupils in the Northampton,
yes.
Northamptonshire, so in the county of Northampton, and it's it launches today,
yes.
And the deadline is in January,
yes.
On the website,
yes.
And you're trying to encourage schools to get involved in it.
Yes,
can you see any potential hurdles that schools might be facing in terms of engaging with the competition, or can you see any hurdles to the competition maybe reaching the success that people are hoping?
Well, the great thing is that the tools that have been provided on the competition website are very simple to use, and you don't need high-tech equipment. You can use very low-tech devices to create your games. So in terms of technology, there should be no barrier. And what I would really recommend is it's not just about coding. You know, get everybody involved from who are good designers and who want to do user interfaces and who wants to code and build small teams of people with different aspirations, artists or coders, get them all together and get them designing and building these apps.
And I see you clearly want this project to be successful because you've partnered with a number of other organisations like the University of Northampton,
yes.
Code Club, British Gas.
Yes.
So I'll go and chat to some of the others and see. But that will in a way help guarantee the success of the project. You're not having to go out and write a new curriculum or something like that, because Code Club already have something like that available.
Exactly. And what I would because again, going back to my own personal journey, when I was 16, I was unemployed and I was trying to get an apprenticeship. What got me that apprenticeship was I taught myself to code when I was 13 years old.
You taught yourself how to do that?
In my back bedroom with a ZX Spectrum, with a book. And that just having that core skill and aspiration got me my apprenticeship. And then I went on to set up one of the first internet startups in the UK in 1994. And then just had this career that I'd never have had if I didn't expose myself at a very young age of 13 to coding.
And were there certain people who were instrumental in sort of mentoring you or encouraging you at that stage? Because, you could imagine that you might have been there, 13-year-old, working in your bedroom, and eventually you just kind of ran out of interest. But did somebody foster that interest? Like, was there a teacher or a parent or somebody who said, this is really good, maybe you should consider a career in this?
It's more just when people ask me at school, what do you want to do when you're older? I just said technology.
Yeah.
I feel technology, and I don't know why. No one really ever exposed me to it. I just felt that was my future. However, being unemployed at 16, it's hard because the system tells you can't.
Sure.
However, if you've actually got those core skills that you picked up, even by doing it yourself, but it's great that this is actually available to all schools. Mm-hmm. No longer do you have the kids learning it on their own in the bedrooms when they can do it in school.
That's great.
It's fantastic.
Thank you very much. Now, I've just crashed into a conversation that three people were having, and I think I've been very, very rude, but I'm going to ask them to introduce their names and what their role is here.
Hi, I'm Rashmi Javid. I'm a senior lecturer in computing at University of Northampton.
So you're a computing lecturer?
Yes, I am a computing lecturer.
And
hello, I'm Jane Badger-Jones, and I head up the school's engagement team at the university, so working with local schools to raise achievement and aspirations.
So that some children who are in schools who might not think about going to university, through some of the work that you do, it might open their eyes
Absolutely,
a little bit.
And get them to reach their full potential.
Super. And who are you?
Hi, I'm Councillor Matt Golby. I'm the Cabinet Member for Learning, Skills and Education on Northamptonshire County Council.
Oh, so you've got three very different roles. Do you think that this is a worthwhile project? Do you think it has some merit, some potential?
Yeah, from my point of view, it's a really important project because it sort of represents the first of its type as a part of our wider Race to the Top strategy that we've worked closely with the university on to really try and get a step change in the academic outcomes for our young people across Northamptonshire.
Oh, so this Race to the Top coding challenge, it's only one small part of a bigger project, is that right?
That's right, yeah. There are three main parts of the Race to the Top strategy, effectively. One is intervention in schools that are not doing as well as they should be doing. Two is how we retain and recruit the best teachers that we possibly can in Northamptonshire. And thirdly is that link with business, because we hear very often that businesses tell us that children and young people, when they come into the workplace, aren't quite ready and they lack a certain amount of skill. So this project really fits perfectly with all the aspirations and the strategy around our Race to the Top.
And I'm just wondering what kind of, because the university, you're a partner in this project, and what kind of connection or you've had with that? Have you designed the project, or you don't know, you've just come along because you were interested?
No, I'm part of the judging team. And the university is well engaged with the schools through its outreach activities. And I in person has been very much involved with schools, and promoting women into computing particularly is my passion. And understanding there is a skills shortage in computing and IT within not only Northamptonshire but within the UK, this code competition is really going to ignite students' interest into computing, coding, and hopefully address the skill set shortage that we're looking at.
And it may have some potential in addressing those kind of gaps that there's been in terms of gender representation within STEM subjects. And I think it's crucial at those ages, 4 to 6 and 13, 14, the year 9, that's where a lot of people start to, those stereotypes start to become cemented. So it may help with that.
Absolutely. I really believe that this is going to address engaging ladies, young women at an early age from 4 to 6, in the year 4 to 6 and year 9 to 10, and help them to choose a career in well-informed ways. So.
And hopefully other groups as well that are not represented within this, within STEM subjects as well. I've seen other projects like this, Jane, you must have worked with a number of projects with the schools.
Yes.
Can you see any potential hurdles that are facing this particular project? Or have they all been ironed out?
I think it's an excellent project. It's got real potential. It's about getting to that grass level of schools to get teachers inspired to share the message with children, because the children are the next generation. That is what's going to make Northamptonshire stand out. And we need to inspire and open gateways. And I think competitive competition and sharing ideas is the way forward. They are going into a world that we don't know what careers are going to be out there. So how can we get them to be ready for those sorts of challenges, to work with different people, to be able to share their ideas, is through experience. So we've really got to give them as many experiences of this as possible. The fact that this is linked to the County Council, the Race to the Top, and the university enables it to have a real ethos and vision that we really want to put forward.
So if we have a crystal ball, and we look into the crystal ball, and we get to January, and the entries have been a huge number, and you're so pleased with the response from schools, do you think that this could be the start of something bigger? Where do you see that this might lead in the future, just within Northampton, say?
As we heard from the Compare, from the Virtual Company of Information Technologists, who are sponsoring the competition, that they see this as the start of an annual competition. And it really fits, again around the whole sort of Race to the Top vision, really, which is, we stated very boldly in that strategy that by 2020 we want to be among the top highest performing local authorities in the country. So this all sits around that, and it's very important that we engage with the university. And Jane is actually on our project board for the project, and again with business as well. So there's a real keen collective buy-in to the vision that we all want to move everything forward, and this annual project is a perfect part of that.
And it will also serve as a really useful case study, because it, you know, hopefully the project is a huge resounding success and other groups and organisations may be looking at Northamptonshire to see how they address the issue. But also if there's one or two things that perhaps maybe the engagement with the schools could have been better, it may be worth sharing some of that afterwards. And because I imagine this will become an annual thing here, at least within Northamptonshire. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you all very much, and thanks for taking part in very last moment.
Thank you.
So, I've gone around the room and I've found a bunch of other people, and I don't know if they... Do you want to introduce yourselves? No.
I'm Isabel.
Hello, Isabel.
Hello.
Are you a teacher?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Can I ask you, so we've just been at the launch event. Does it seem like a good initiative?
Yeah, a great initiative. Yeah, great to have a real purpose for the children to want to do some coding. So that there's actually a reason behind doing it. There's a theme to it, which is a great theme that obviously links in with other themes that we have within school for science and our Eco Council. And also that it's not going to be teachers in the school assessing their work, but it's an outside agency, which is great because it makes it much more real life.
That's a really good point. So those teachers at the moment who are running like out-of-school clubs and things like that, this could be serve as a really good focus.
Absolutely.
For their activity.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing I quite liked was to see that there's a number of different organisations here. There's the university as well. And when I was a teacher and I was really struggling to contact universities near me to get involved with, at that time, a project like this might have been just that little thing that opened the door to, you know, those kind of activities. And Code Club have got involved as well, and a few other organisations.
It would be good. So the offer of having students to come in and support, perhaps when we don't have parents
like,
who have that,
like
that
Code Club mentors.
And, that would be useful for us, I think.
So I don't know if you know, but Code Club have a number of roles that they have within their structure. One of them is the mentor, the person who will run a Code Club session. So Code Club, you probably know already, is an after-school coding club for children aged 8 to 11, but the mentors don't have to be teachers. They can be somebody from a university or a student teacher or something like that, or it could be a parent even at the school. And but they also have another role as well, which is they have these Code Club pros, and they might be somebody who's already working in industry, can't really volunteer to give up a lot of time to go and support the school, but get paid through Code Club Pro to support schools. You didn't know that?
Didn't know that bit.
Yeah. And you're raising your eyebrows as well.
Yeah, no, I wasn't aware of that.
Ah, right. So look for Code Club Pro.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my name's David, and I'm a head teacher in Northamptonshire. And this is John, and he's a parent of a child in my school. But John is also a real advocate for coding, and he runs a code club in our school at the moment.
Wow.
So we're hoping that this initiative will enable us to have a focus for our code club, and we'll develop some really exciting codes to create some games, I'm hoping. Is that right, John?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think what I found is that kids are very keen for it. Yeah. You don't need to show them too much before they're up and running with it. It's sometimes a bit more difficult to convince non-kids about freeing up the time and the application of it. And obviously events like this are good because that gives that focus. I've sort of come from 20 years of industry, so I've seen the benefit of even small amounts of coding, getting robots moving around. So I'm a real believer of if you can inspire kids at this age, then that's our next generation of engineers.
And one of the things that I think is really unique that I've really enjoyed when I've seen things like Raspberry Jams and Code Clubs is some of those children that will come to the event, they might not necessarily be the future computer scientist, but they have other ways that they develop, and they like to lead the activities and organize it. And I think when you can pass some of that ownership over to the children, it suddenly the model becomes more robust, and even if the competition finishes in January, they can move on to whatever the next thing is.
We were saying that we were hoping that there would be a possibility to have a kind of jam together after the event, because if we can put a lot of children who are excited about coding in a room to complete some activities, but also to share what they've learned, then I think that would be really powerful.
A jam's a really good model to take and help it fit in with some of your objectives. So if your objectives is like, you think, well, we've got music, we've got dance in school, we've got drama, we've got football, we've got ballet, we've got all those things. But some children are left out by that. And if you want to find out who those children are, sometimes running a few jams over a period of time helps those children realize they can be part of a club too. And they don't have to be, like David said, he was a 13-year-old developer in his bedroom. You know, they can belong to a group as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one of the things, if you can get, you know, an active parent or some other mentor to run those jams over a period of time, because you've got that regularity, it starts to build up more resilience, the structure of it. And over time, other people will step in so that it doesn't always fall on that one parent or mentor to run it. Right. Well, thank you very much
thank
for your
you.
Opinions on that. And I wish your school every success with the competition.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, can I ask, what's your name and what's your connection with this project?
So, my name's Scott Turner and I'm a associate professor here at the University of Northampton, and I'm one of the project team involved in this project.
So you work here with students of computer science?
I do. I work, yeah.
Undergraduates?
Undergraduates, postgraduates, yeah. PhD students.
Ah, a whole remit of them.
Yeah.
And typically, how many students do you get in a year?
We have about 150 first years. We have, so that carries on to the second and third year.
So across the UK, that's kind of like a medium size?
It's a medium size, yeah.
Yeah. And have you seen those numbers go up or down over the last few years?
Actually going up, and we're very pleased about that.
Yes, yeah. Because that doesn't reflect what some people have seen in other parts of the UK, where they've, or no, I'm out of date, am I?
No, yes, we're probably bucking the trend a little bit.
Right.
We're happy.
That's good, yeah.
And we have a whole range of courses, from business computing to the hardware side, so yeah.
So Scott, I'm imagining that your work is your workload is already really full. Why do you need another project like this in your life?
Because I enjoy it.
Yeah.
This is one of the things I'm passionate about, is getting computing into schools. My interest is mainly actually on robots, but just that whole idea of getting kids coding and getting the teacher seats, not actually as scary as they think to do, and it's actually fun. That creativity, the fun aspect of producing something, and the thing I think about, the thing I like about coding is you get something quite quickly. You know, you can produce a little game with some of the packages out there like Scratch and Scratch is one I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
So you get something very quick that looks like a game.
Almost immediate results.
Yeah.
And you can, it's an iterative process.
You build
this thing, you think, oh, now I wanted to do this, and you can add that in.
That's it. It's that early results, and I think people get, because it's so visual, so engaging, actually they don't realise they're starting to pick up little skills here all over the place. Picking up the skills of how you break down a problem to solve it.
So we've talked about the merits of the project. Yeah. Have you been involved in other projects before to engage with schools and teachers?
Yeah, I had a project called JunkBots.
Okay, yeah.
Which the idea of JunkBots was to bring engineering, computing and environmental science together. And it was had really three parts. The first part was to do some waste management activities within, originally it was for secondary schools,
sure.
But moved down to primary quite easily.
And how, was it a success, the project?
It was a success, yeah. And we went on, and then the second part was to actually do some programming. The third part was to actually build, from junk, something that you can control and shake some moves around the room. So tin cans, pens, whatever it was.
And what kind of things did people build?
Things that draw. So we put some pens on it. It's got
like a plotter, almost.
It randomly plots these swirls around, like a spirograph. Things that you can have them racing across the room. It was just getting them to think about.
Is there a gallery of these available anywhere that people can look at online or anything?
There is a blog.
Right.
Jumpbots.blogspot.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll try and find a link. So it's junkbots.blogspot or something.
It's on blog.
Okay. So you've had some experience of running projects before.
Yeah,
are you part of the board that have planned this project?
Yes.
This one we're talking about, the race to the top one.
I'm part of the working group that was involved in it, yeah.
With that experience behind you, were you able to anticipate any issues that the project team might face in terms of achieving success with this project?
The
Or what barriers do you think that there might be?
The barrier I think might be is confidence in schools to actually deliver, to do this.
Sure.
And this is why we'd like to set up a very supportive network through a forum, through right. events that are going on, joining with Co-Club to say, well, we'll do this together. And just to encourage the teachers to think, actually, you can do this.
Sure.
And the kids can do it, you can do it.
And do you think there might be a danger if there's a tendency to think, oh, well, it's going to be a teacher that's responsible for delivering this in the school, that teacher might already have a busy workload and lacking confidence, and the teacher may not be the one that will implement the project in the school.
True, but...
Yeah. But I suppose with having partners like Code Club...
We're hoping there's going to be volunteers to get involved.
Sure.
And it'd be nice if schools could encourage a parent to yes. engage, or local businesses.
That's right. I was just talking a moment ago to a head teacher of a primary school not far from here,
yeah.
and he has a parent who's, you know, very passionate about the same kind of ideals yeah. that you have, and they're quite excited about seeing this project being delivered in their school.
I think that and so
that would be a successful model.
That would be a yeah. very successful yeah. model. I think there's so many potential successful models for this, that it could be the teachers running it, and it could be Co-Club. Kind of a style event. It could be in a library, and there might be two or three groups working in there. But
so if we look forward with the crystal ball,
yeah. right.
So this project has been immensely successful.
Yep.
And you were looking at the end. What does that look like for you? What do you see as being...
Well, it's a long-term project.
Right.
The way we see it is, this is an investment from the university in the local community for its own sake, but also... We want to improve the programming abilities of Northamptonshire sure. students, because when they come to us, hopefully... Yeah.
And raising their aspirations.
They're going to be better yeah. programmers. They're going to have those skills. We can have a much better experience. Everyone can have a much better experience.
And have you considered... I know it's a very short run time. Launching in October. Judging's taking place in January.
Yeah.
Were you planning on this phase of this competition to host any events at the university to say to schools, well, look, like one of our second year students can run a workshop in Scratch for the afternoon? Or you?
That's what we're trying. That's what we plan to do. Okay. We're planning to. We've got a scheme called STEM Champions, which is our students go out and volunteer, and we're teaming up with Code Club to actually support students going out there. We can't promise that we're going to have.
Sure.
A student for every school.
Yes,
I don't think we will, but we want.
But
to
if people, if the need is there, yeah, you want to try and.
We want to try and
support
that
need.
Very, yeah. very keen to address yeah. that need, and we want to get this to be a big success.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Scott. I wish you every success with the project.
All right.
Thank you. So, tell us, for the purpose of the podcast, who are you and what do you do?
Hi, I'm Catherine. I'm the East Midlands Regional Coordinator for Code Club. So I look after all the existing Code Clubs in the East Midlands and help people start up new ones as well.
So that's probably part of the reason why we met at the PyCon UK conference a couple of weeks ago. And you were there with another Code Club coordinator.
Tim, that's
yes.
right, yes.
Yeah, and you were there in the Code Club t-shirts, Champion Code Club.
Absolutely, yeah? Because at Code Club we believe that every child should have the opportunity to learn how to code. And so we're helping to facilitate that by building a nationwide network of volunteer-led after-school clubs for primary school-aged children, where the children can come along and have fun creating games, animations, and web pages, and learn how to code at the same time.
So this project, this Race to the Top coding competition, in a way, that seems like quite a good model for Code Club to get involved.
Yeah? Absolutely. We were delighted to be asked by Northamptonshire County Council to get involved in this. Because as part of the competition then, it means that we can support schools by giving them access to the Scratch projects on our website once they've registered with the Code Club programme. And then they can come along to check-in events, and we're going to help them with some training as well. And it will help the teachers' confidence in delivering coding activities for children, as well as igniting the enthusiasm and the passion of the children themselves.
Now, sometimes cynical, you know, people listen to this might be a bit cynical and might say, oh, well, yeah, but the thing is, Catherine, you don't understand. I'm a year five teacher. I'm a year five teacher. I've got a load of things to do at the moment. I'd love to do this. My kids would be really excited about it, but I just haven't got the confidence levels myself. What piece of advice would you give there?
I would not say anything myself, but I would put it in the words of teachers themselves who've yeah. gone through the journey already. And the feedback I get from those teachers is that they wish they'd started it sooner, that it's the easiest club that they've ever run in a school, and it has the biggest impact on the school community in terms of developing the children's collaboration skills, their problem skills, problem-solving skills, and their confidence in general. And that is actual feedback that I'm getting from teachers who've done it themselves.
And would it help if a school had a mentor as well, a code club mentor? You know, somebody on the ground who's there to support them?
Absolutely. So we have a database of volunteers with a background in coding, and schools can search on the database to find a volunteer near them, ask them to come and help at the club, and get them in to give them some mentoring and advice.
And what if a school already has a couple of parents, like a mum and a dad that could actually be mentors? Would that be okay for them?
That would be brilliant. And parents are a great pool of knowledge that's often overlooked. So I would always advocate that a school puts out an appeal to parents to see if any of them have the skills to help in a code club. And we actually have letters and things available to help schools do that. We try and have as many out-of-the-box resources to give them the support that they need, basically.
So teachers listen to this, they want to find out a bit more. Where's the best place for them to go?
So they need to go to our website, which is www.codeclub.org.uk. They can find out all the information, and then they can hit the register button to become a Code Club school themselves.
That's great, Catherine. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan.
Bye now. Oh, you're on Twitter, aren't you, as well?
Oh, I am. We are @Code Club on Twitter, and I am @Code Club Emids.
Super. Thank you.